clothes on. So thank you, John. We'll just skip the sermon, and that's our, I'm just kidding. We will not do that, but we will be sensitive to the clock, and we will, you're just going to have to listen really fast, okay? There's no other way to say this. No, what a joy. Oh, man, to celebrate and to see what God is doing, and not just in the testimonies that we heard this morning, but we look forward to this week of VBS and having an opportunity just to minister and serve so many different families and children that will be with us. So if you would, though, please open your Bibles again to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as you turn there, let me pray just once again for our time together. Father, we do pray that you would accomplish the prayer that we just sang. Oh, that your Spirit would work and would move mightily in our hearts and minds, that we would love one another, that we would seek to serve one another and glorify you, that we would be and would manifest the oneness and the unity that we have because of what you have accomplished in us and through us. And so, Father, we pray today that you would grow us, that you would mature us, that you would make us more like Christ, that you would accomplish in us whatever you desire to do. And Father, we want to walk in humility before you. Help us to do that, and we pray it in Jesus' good name. Amen. As we get started, I want to just remind you briefly of some of the key main themes that we touched on last week as we've begun to work our way through 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First of all, we saw, you can see this on your outline, that spiritual gifts, the manifestation of the Spirit, enables us to serve like Jesus for the glory of Jesus as Jesus' body here on earth. I mean, the good news is, brothers and sisters, and I know that you already know this, I'm convinced that you believe this, otherwise you would not be here, and that is Jesus is continuing his work. He is advancing his kingdom, and he's doing it through us, through his Spirit indwelt people, which he has gifted to love and serve like him. And so last week, then we came face to face with the humbling truth that we are totally inadequate. We are unable to love and serve for Christ without the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit to even confess that Jesus is Lord. We need the Spirit to open our eyes that we may see Christ for who he is. We need the Spirit to empower us to use the gifts that he has entrusted to us. And so last week then, from verses 1 to 7, we asked and answered three questions. Spiritual gifts, for whom, from where, and for what? Spiritual gifts for whom? That is, they are given for every believer, to every believer. Every believer who the Spirit lives in, who confesses that Jesus is Lord, we've been entrusted with gifts and talents to use for his glory. Spiritual gifts from where? Well, they are from the Holy Spirit. They are, according to verse 7, a manifestation of the Spirit. And yet we also saw in verses 4 to 6 how the entire Trinity is involved and at work in the life of the body. And then spiritual gifts for what? Well, they're not for selfish gain. They're not for self-promotion. No, again, according to verse 7, they are for the common good, for the growth, for the benefit, for the building up of everyone around us. And now, with that in mind, we turn our attention for a few moments to verses 8 to 11, where Paul now mentions 9 specific gifts, 9 specific manifestations of the Spirit that can be present in the people of God. Again, not for self-promotion, but for the common good, that we would be Jesus' body here on earth. Let me just read these verses again so they are clearly in focus before us. Looking at verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, as we read those verses, brothers and sisters, we cannot help but notice Paul's emphasis. His emphasis is not, I repeat, not on exhaustively defining right here, right now, every gift that he mentions. No, that's not Paul's emphasis. Paul's emphasis is here on stressing the centrality, the pervasiveness, the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit in every gift that he gives. These nine gifts are here, as Paul says, that they are given through the Spirit. They are according to the same Spirit. They are by the same Spirit. They are by the one Spirit. They are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And so if these verses cause us to do anything, they should cause us to rejoice in what God is doing and accomplishing in and through his people by his Spirit. See, for whatever gifts we have, whatever gifts you possess, however that God works that out in your life, it has come to you. It is empowered by the same Holy Spirit. There is no such thing as an inferior gift given by an inferior spirit. Now, Paul makes it so abundantly clear. There is one Holy Spirit who works and lives in every child of God. Now, having said that, and before we just touch on each of the nine gifts that Paul mentions, there's just a few important truths that I want us to consider that will be helpful for us this morning. And the first is this. You can note it on your outline if you want. Spiritual gifts are not necessarily a sign of spiritual maturity. Just because you have a gift does not mean you are spiritually mature. Just because there is a manifestation of the Spirit in your life, that does not necessarily mean that you are spiritually mature. The Corinthians were, by all measures, a very gifted people, a very blessed people, and yet, by all accounts, they were not acting and thinking in mature ways. They had a lot of growing to do. And there's nothing in Scripture that would lead us to believe that God only gives certain really great gifts to his mature, beloved children, and then the lesser, not so important gifts, he gives to the B team. He gives to the lesser Christians. Listen, there is no place for this kind of dialogue. There is no place for this kind of conversation. Oh, what gifts do you have? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, you have the gift of helps? Oh, you have the gift of administrations? Oh, you have the gift of faith? Well, I guess we can't all be winners, can we? No, there's no conversation, and there's no room for this kind of thinking to think, oh, I would be complete in Christ if only I had this gift. No, you are complete in Christ. No matter what gift that you have received, you are already complete in Christ because of his work in you. And the Corinthians, they struggled to understand this. They elevated certain gifts. So Paul is going to have some hard things to say to them in the coming weeks, which we will get to. Now, as it relates to growth, this is important. Note it on your outline. We do grow spiritually as we serve together, as we build up one another in Christ. If you feel like you are not growing, if you feel like that you are stuck, that you are stagnant, it could very well be that you are not serving. You are neglecting the gifts and the talents that perhaps God has given to you. Don't ever think, I'm going to go off in a corner by myself. I'm going to grow, I'm going to mature, I'm going to become a spiritual giant, and then one day, after I have figured it all out, after I have become a super Christian, then I'll start to serve. Then I'll use the gifts and the talents that God has given to me. No, God intends for us to grow and mature as we serve, as we walk in faith, as we step out in obedience to love the people that God has called us to love. Now, I know we're not there yet, but jump ahead just a few verses to verse 18, where Paul writes this. This is so good. Verse 18, Paul says, "But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose." Who chose? God chose. You are in the body to fulfill a beautiful and distinct role and function using the gifts that you have, all according to the choice of God, to the wisdom of God. So the point is, we should never think that we're going to grow spiritually in self-centered, cold, distant isolation. We are called to be the body together. We are called to serve together. We're called to support and to strengthen one another. Next, note this on your outline. Spiritual gifts are known and revealed through their use, not primarily through tests. And listen, I'm not saying that all tests are bad. Spiritual gift tests can be helpful to give you ideas of where you may want to serve, of where you may want to plug in and use the giftedness that God has given to you. But ultimately, you will know your gifting. You will see the manifestation of the Spirit in your life again as you step out in faith, as you allow God to work in you and through you in a variety of ways. So don't ever be afraid to try something new, to step out into a new ministry and a new opportunities, because you may discover that God is gifting you, that His Spirit is being manifest in you in ways that you never realized before, that you didn't see coming, that you didn't know that God could and would use you in that way. And listen, as and this is such a beautiful thing, and we need to become better at this as we use our giftedness and as you see the manifestation of the Spirit in other brothers and sisters, please point that out. Please give God glory for that and point out His grace and His work in the life of other brothers and sisters. This is a important way that we can encourage one another. So you most likely have a combination of gifts and talents that can be applied in a variety of ministries, in a variety of ways, in different seasons of life. And we should want to explore this and celebrate this together, because we are, and man, we're going to hit this real hard next week. We are the body of Christ here on earth. Now, lastly, before we get to some of the individual gifts that Paul mentions, note this on your outline. Sundays are not the only, or I would say even the primary, time that our gifts should be used and exercised. Listen, love, service, edification, encouragement, it is needed Monday through Saturday. Amen? It is not just needed on Sunday. And so every day you are an ambassador for Christ. Every day is an opportunity for you to manifest the fruit of the Spirit and the gifting of the Spirit in your life, which will result in the good of others and the growth of others, which is the point and the purpose of spiritual gifts, that it is the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, having said all of that, this morning we want to talk about 9 specific gifts that Paul mentions. Yes, listen, there are other lists of spiritual gifts in the Bible, but we're not in those passages. And so I'm not going to deal with those gifts. We're going to limit ourselves to the list that Paul mentions here. We'll preach those passages when we get to those other books of the Bible. And yes, I know, let me just say this up front, I know that from commentary to commentary, from Bible teacher to Bible teacher, from Bible scholar to Bible scholar, no two seem to completely agree on every definition of each one of these gifts. I am well aware. In fact, I would even say I have become painfully aware of the controversies and the difficulties that are involved in exhaustively trying to define and articulate and explain all of the different manifestations of the Spirit. So here's the other thing that I want to say. I realize that in some of my thinking and my definitions and the way that I see these things being lived out, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Oh, no, it's true. I know someone disagreed with that, but it's true. Some of my definitions and descriptions. So listen, if you land differently than I do on some of the things that we're going to talk about this morning and in the weeks to come, listen, then I hope you will repent. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. If you land differently on these things, I hope and pray that we can nonetheless continue to fellowship together and continue to worship together and to continue to strive for the same goal, the same common goal of seeing Christ exalted and God glorified and His people being His body here on earth at this time. And because there are some things about the gifts of the Spirit and the manifestations of the Spirit that are difficult to understand. And would you think it to be any other way? We are dealing with something that is divine. We are dealing with something that has its origination in God Himself. Could it be then that, yes, there are elements in which we as small, finite, sinful creatures struggle to understand? We get wrong and we think in wrong ways. Yes, yes. But let me also say this. This is not a fruitless exercise, what we're going to do this morning. Because as we look at these gifts, we want to see and examine how these gifts have been used and can be used by God for the benefit and growth of the body of Christ. So we want to try to answer this question, okay? How do these gifts reveal God's goodness and Christ's power in His people? That's the question that we want to try to answer, and we're going to take the gifts in the order in which Paul mentions them. The first one is this, the gift of wisdom. And just so you know, we'll go as far as we can this morning, and then we'll hit the pause button, and we'll pick it up here next week. So your lunch will be just fine. It's going to be so good. So first of all, the gift of wisdom, this is the ability to apply God's truth to everyday life. And again, as the Spirit works and moves, and what a blessing these individuals are to the body who have the gift of wisdom. And yes, it's true. All believers are to seek after wisdom. See the book of Proverbs, all of it, in order to prove that point. And yes, it's true that every believer is to pray and ask God for wisdom in those moments where we are painfully aware of how much we lack God's wisdom. See James chapter 1, verse 5. And yet it is true that God uniquely blesses and empowers some of His children with wisdom, with the God-given ability to helpfully apply truth to life, so that the body would be built up and encouraged. And listen, perhaps you have known someone who has lots and lots of knowledge. And we'll talk about the gift of knowledge in just a moment. But again, perhaps you know someone who has lots and lots of knowledge. And this is not a disparaging comment towards anyone who has knowledge. It's just a statement of fact. But perhaps you've known someone and they have much knowledge, but they are not very good at practically applying that knowledge to everyday life, in making the connection from knowledge to application, from knowledge to specific answers for problems and situations that we face on a daily basis. Listen, people who have the gift of wisdom that the Spirit is working to manifest God's wisdom in them, they function and they serve as marvelous counselors and advisors to the body. We should seek out, we should ask these individuals when we recognize God's work of grace in their life in this way, we should ask them for input and counsel. People who have the gift of wisdom are uniquely equipped to help us see the path forward, to help us see the dangers that lie on both sides of the road, so that we would walk in a way that glorifies God. Next, number two, the gift of knowledge. This is the ability to remember, retain, collect, and organize truth. Someone who has this gift by the Spirit's work in their life, man, they love to study God's Word. They love to read. They love to contemplate the big picture. They love to organize and connect the dots and the themes and the truths of Scripture into helpful, manageable pieces for the rest of us to digest and understand. Those with the gift of knowledge serve the body in wonderful ways, as again, they help us see both the big picture and the smaller details of who God is and what God has said to us. And we ought to praise God for this manifestation of the Spirit. And yes, I understand that when we think about the gift of knowledge, maybe our thoughts immediately go to wonderful theologians and authors who have written commentaries and systematic theology books, and that's all well and good. But we should also think about, and we should also praise God for, the faithful Sunday school teachers, the small group leaders, the Bible study teachers who study and prepare and help us week after week after week come to know God and His Word more fully. Now, admittedly, you know that there is an inherent danger associated with knowledge in the Bible. It is possible, according to 1 Corinthians 8:1, it's possible for knowledge to puff us up. It is possible for those who possess much knowledge to become satisfied in their knowledge, complacent in what they know, maybe even arrogant as they look down upon those who don't know what they know. It's very interesting to consider what Paul will write just a few verses later in chapter 13, verse 2, where Paul says, "And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love," what does Paul say next? "I am nothing." Knowledge minus love is a dreadful thing, because it leads to pride and to arrogance. In fact, that's true for any gift that we're discussing, any gift, any work minus love is a dreadful thing, because gifts by their very nature are designed to help us express and live out our love for God and our love for one another. But the gift of knowledge is a wonderful help to the body of Christ, because when it is connected with love, it fuels wonder. It fuels worship and amazement and awe and understanding and faith and joyful obedience. Next, Paul mentions the gift of faith. The gift of faith. This is the ability to trust God's word and promises and to call for action. That is to help motivate others to walk in faith themselves. Now, I get it that when we start talking about this gift, the gift of faith, you're probably thinking, well, doesn't every Christian have faith? I mean, you can't be a Christian without saving faith in Jesus Christ. And of course, yes, that is true. Every Christian must have faith, must have trust in Christ and what Jesus has already done and what Jesus has already accomplished to save sinners like us. Every Christian is called to walk by faith and not by sight. See 2 Corinthians 5:7. And yet, there is also a unique gift, a unique manifestation of the Spirit in the life of a Christian whereby he or she is able to show and demonstrate what I would call profound, resolute confidence and trust in God and in his promises, even in, especially in, difficult, dark times. Do we need people who are gifted in this way in the body of Christ? Yes. Do we need men like Hudson Taylor, who in 1866 had the gift of faith to believe that God would save and draw many to himself in China? Do we need men like George Mueller, who in 1836 had the gift of faith to believe that God would provide for him as he loved and cared for so many orphan children who were in need? Do we need women like our missionary, Rosalind Pro, who has faith to believe that God will use her and is using her in Ukraine to love and to help orphans and families who are in need? Do we need women like Esther, who in the book of Esther demonstrated extraordinary faith that could only come from God, that she would willingly put her own life on the line to save the people of God? Esther, who believed that for such a time as this, God had put her into the palace as queen. People who manifest the gift of faith, they are not superheroes. They are not superheroes. People who manifest the gift of faith, they are ordinary Christians who by God's Spirit are trusting God and trusting God's promises in extraordinary ways to see God glorified and his kingdom advanced. I think it's often the case, not always, I think it's often the case that those with the gift of faith are what we sometimes would call or refer to as visionaries, as big picture kind of people. They fiercely believe God's word. They tenaciously trust God's promises, and they fervently want to see God move and work. And I'll tell you, I am so blessed and I am so helped by my brothers and sisters who demonstrate the gift of faith. People with the gift of faith, they often have a holy discontentment with the way things are, because they want to see promises of God fulfilled. They want to see God believed and his promises embraced, and they want to see God work. And I'll tell you, I have seen this gift many times, up close and personal, and it is a blessing. One of our elders, in particular, often manifests this gift in the most difficult of circumstances. Now, I don't want to say which elder it is, because I don't want to embarrass Dwight, but several years ago, when we as a church family, man, when we were going through just a particularly difficult, weird, strange time of transition, and the church was being sued, and Dwight, I walk into a meeting with this particular elder, and he was always like, man, what a blessing. God is so good, and God is doing an amazing work, and we need to be faithful to Him. We need to follow His word. We need to love one another. We need to love God. God is doing a great work. And what a joy it is to serve and to lead. And you know what? He's right. He's absolutely right. And I was so blessed. I was so encouraged. I was so strengthened. And I was also sometimes annoyed. I was sometimes annoyed because there are times when I want to have a pity party. There are times when in difficult and in hard circumstances, I want to have a pity party. But listen, people with the gift of faith, they don't let you have a pity party because they're continually calling you back to who God is, to what God has promised, to the good work that God is doing. So this is a glorious manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Next, number four, the gifts, plural, of healing. Noted on your outline, here Paul seems to have in mind several gifts of healing. In the text, in verse 9, the words gifts and healings, they are both in the plural. Paul, again, seems to have in mind several types of healings or several gifts of healing. So what in the world could it be that Paul has in mind as he writes this? Well, perhaps the most obvious when we think about the gift of healing is what I would call the authoritative, miraculous gift of healing, whereby the Holy Spirit empowered someone to heal miraculously and instantaneously at will. This is like what we see in Peter in Acts chapter 3, where in the name of Jesus, Peter commands a man who cannot walk to stand up and walk, and he does. And it is glorious, and it is amazing. And this healing that we see in Peter, in the apostles, we see that it is authoritative, that it is miraculous, that it is instantaneous. And when we read the Gospels and we read the book of Acts, it is a beautiful and it is an awe-inspiring thing to see the power of God on display in this kind of healing. This miraculous, authoritative gift was clearly used by God to testify, to speak to validate the ministry and message of Jesus and of His apostles. Paul would write later in 2 Corinthians 12:12, the signs of a true apostle. So there are signs that accompany the life and the ministry of a true apostle. It says, were performed among you with utmost patience, with signs and wonders and mighty works. Now, these works of physical healing, they are in themselves wonderful miracles that should inspire worship. But they also testify to the greater eternal spiritual healing that is available in Christ. And while I don't think that we see this apostolic sign gift operating in exactly the same way today, like we do in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, I do believe that God can and does still heal, even in miraculous ways, in response to the prayers of His people. And listen, this too is a manifestation of the Spirit. And I think this is why Paul uses the plural to speak of the gifts of healing. See, I think we see something similar to this discussed in James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, someone who is sick or weak is told to call for the elders that they might pray for him, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, here's the really interesting thing about James chapter 5, the Greek word that James uses for sick. I love this. About half of the time that word is used in the New Testament, it refers to physical sickness. About the other half of the time that word is used in the New Testament, it refers to spiritual sickness or to spiritual weakness. And again, I think that this perhaps speaks to Paul's point here as to why gifts and healings are in the plural. See, here's the point. Are we to pray for people who are physically sick that by God's Spirit He may restore them and raise them up? Yes. And are we to pray for those who are spiritually weak and spiritually sick, that God by His Spirit would raise them up and restore them? Yes. And in all of our prayers, in all of these things, in all of the petitions that we bring before God, we are to submit to His will and His timing in all things. And in God's wisdom and His will and plan, He will manifest and show His power in us and through us to accomplish His work of healing and restoration. You know, another example of this spiritual healing and restoration, I think, can be seen perhaps in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, where Paul writes, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." Now, here's the question. Well, how in the world are we going to do that? How are we going to restore and help and heal this brother or sister who is overcome and who is caught? Are we going to do it in our own strength? Are we going to do it in our own wisdom as a manifestation of our own power, our own goodness, our own intelligence? No, we will do it by the power of God, by the work of the Spirit of God in us and through us. So the work of healing, whether we are referring to something physical or spiritual, it will be a manifestation of the power of God. It will be a manifestation of the Spirit of God for the common good. And listen, whatever your take is on the gift of healing, it is a profound comfort and joy to know that, listen, because of Christ, because of God's grace, because of God's Spirit, we can all experience wholeness and completeness and spiritual life, eternal life, now in Christ. That we can receive the gift of eternal life today. And listen, that is true. And it is also true that one day our bodies will be made whole, will be restored after the likeness of Christ Himself, after the likeness of His glorified body. I hope and pray that on that point we can fully agree. And that is where we're actually going to break for this morning, because what we have next is the working of miracles, the gift of prophecy, the gift of discernment, then the gift of tongues or languages, and then the gift of interpretation. And I'm just not going to lie to you, I can't do that in 2 minutes. So we're going to hit the pause button, and you got to come back next week, because it's so good. It's so good. And I love thinking and talking about the Spirit's work in us. So I want to just as we close, just camp for a moment, just kind of where we just left things off. Brothers or sisters, do you need prayer? Are you physically weak? Are you spiritually weak? Listen, there's wholeness available in Christ. I mean, one day, yes, there is coming resurrected, glorified bodies, and we look forward to that day. But until that day, brothers and sisters, we pray for one another. We support one another, right? We want to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, as we love and care for one another right here and right now. So if we can in any way be a support and an encouragement to you today, it would be our joy to do that. We will be available down front. Our elders, pastors will be available. But we'd love to talk with you and to pray with you about these things. And I also just want to say this, brothers and sisters, don't forget the point that we mentioned early on. Monday through Saturday is an opportunity to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit in our lives. God has somebody for you to love and to care for today. So let's walk in the power of Spirit. Let's submit to the Spirit's leading and let God be glorified in us. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we recognize that we didn't get as far as maybe I wanted to through the text, but that's okay. We submit that to you. We lay that before you. We pray that you would give us wisdom and discernment and understanding. Lord, as we look at our lives, as we look at who you want us to be in you, Lord, we pray that you would accomplish your good purposes. We pray that we would never forget our oneness in Christ, that we would never forget the blessings that have freely been given to us because of what Jesus has done. And Father, if there be anyone here today who is in need of prayer, encouragement, and strengthening, God, I pray that you would burden their hearts to not remain silent, but to speak out and to come forward, that we may pray for them and encourage them today. So, Father, do your work. We pray that you would continue to refine us and make us into the likeness and image of Christ. And we pray this all in his name. Amen.